From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, you'll hear a message from God's Word brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For many weeks, Dr. Cairns has been studying the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ as recorded in the Gospels. Having passed through the agony and humiliation of Calvary, having finished the work which God the Father had given him to do on earth, the Lord Jesus Christ rose triumphantly from the grave, thus giving unassailable proof that he is indeed God manifested in the flesh. In introducing this message, Dr. Cairns first disposes of all the foolish arguments which question the fact of Christ's death and resurrection. In a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the opening portion of a message called The Risen Christ in the Midst of His Disciples. First, today's hot topic, Lunatic Left Rules in California Supreme Court.
In May 2008, California's Supreme Court ruled that a state law that defined marriage as the union of one man and one woman was unconstitutional. So a law that was forced on an unwilling legislature by a statewide vote of the California electorate has been thrown out by a court that is so far out in left field that it appears detached from all reality, to say nothing of morality. In the year 2000, California voters approved a ban on same-sex marriages, but so-called gay rights activists were joined by the city of San Francisco in challenging the ban. Now the state Supreme Court has decided in favor of the challengers. The 7-judge panel voted 4-3 in favor of the plaintiffs, who argued that the 2000 law was discriminatory. This majority decision states in effect that California homosexuals have the same right to form same-sex marriages as heterosexual couples have to form traditional marriages. In its ruling, the court said that the right to form a family relationship, as it put it, applied to all Californians, regardless of sexuality. Speaking for the 4 judges whose decision carried the day, Chief Justice Ron George wrote that, quotes, limiting the designation of marriage to a union between a man and a woman is unconstitutional and must be stricken from the statute. So, once again, the homosexual lobby has been able to use unelected judges to exceed their constitutional power in order to overthrow the will of the people. The state legislature twice passed laws to legalize homosexual marriage, but Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger vetoed them, deferring the matter to the court system. The people spoke, and the court has done what the legislature could not do. It has made same-sex so-called marriages a civil right. The 4 judges who voted for same-sex marriages are judicial activists. They have taken it on themselves to make law rather than to apply the Constitution, which nowhere makes sexual deviancy a civil right. Of course, the fundamental error was in ever bowing to the pressure to decriminalize homosexual activity. Once they won acceptance of their perversion as lawful behavior, it was certain that homosexual activists would use the leverage they had gained to force on society wide-ranging changes that will corrupt and destroy the nation and its most cherished institutions, notably the traditional family. Homosexuality is an open defiance of the law of God our Creator. Homosexual marriage is a corruption of the first societal bond God established when he created the first man and the first woman and made them husband and wife. When the nation departs from God and his law, it is at the mercy of such legal lunacy as California's Supreme Court has just enacted. Thankfully, in this case, this perverse Supreme Court decision is not the last word in the matter. There's a movement to pass an amendment to the state constitution that would define marriage as the union of one man and one woman, so taking the matter entirely out of the hands of left-wing judicial activists. I hope that the move is successful and that it will be followed all across the nation. We have already allowed the homosexual lobby to exercise power out of all proportion to their rights, and it is time to call a halt. Constitutional amendments may be the only way to do it.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the subject of angels. In 5 articles, various ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church deal with such matters as what are angels, what is their ministry, as well as the topic of Satan and the fallen angels. Among other articles of interest in this issue, there is a focus on what the Lord is doing in the country of Peru. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that little word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
Describing himself to John the Apostle when John was on the Isle of Patmos, a prisoner for Christ's sake, the Lord Jesus said, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." This is what marks the difference between Christianity and every other religion in the history of the world. Other religions stand upon men who once lived and now are dead. Christianity stands upon one who once lived, was put to death, and rose again from the dead, and today lives in the power of an endless life. The glorious truth of the gospel is that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, but rose again from the dead according to the scriptures, in the very body in which he had been crucified. Now, over the last weeks, months, and I must confess, even years, we have followed these Sabbath mornings. We have followed the Lord Jesus Christ from that commencement of His public ministry with His baptism at the River Jordan by John the Baptist, through His time in the wilderness in temptation, through the 3 years of His ministry, right up until the time when He suffered unto death in agonies and blood. After His death, He rose again, and after His resurrection, He spent 40 days upon this earth prior to His ascension to the right hand of the Father. And today, I want us to consider those 40 days of life on earth after the resurrection. I want us to think particularly upon the risen Christ in the midst of His disciples. Now, I don't want you simply to sit back and say, well, now we have all believed in the resurrection all our lives. It's a great truth, but what's new? You know, we're in sad shape when either the life or the death or the resurrection of Jesus Christ simply becomes an item in a creed, and when it loses its vitality and its immediacy. I want this to sink in. We're dealing with the biography of Christ. Whether you've noticed or not, some of you will have and some of you may not have, we have not sought to deal with all the events in the life of Christ. We have not sought to deal with all the sayings of Christ. We have not sought to deal with all the sermons of Christ. That would be an endless series. Some of you think this series is almost endless. What we have sought to do is rather to take each thing with this controlling factor, the biography of Christ Himself. It's been my burden that we learn not only what Jesus did, what Jesus said, and where He went. Not only to look at the people with whom He came in contact, but to seek to gain an intimate and increasing knowledge of Christ Himself. It's His biography that we have been trying to paint in words in these past studies. But I want this to sink in. We have come to His death. We have seen Him crucified, bathed in His own shed blood. We have seen the writhing body come to stillness and then be wrapped up in grave clothes and laid in a tomb. Now that's the end of any man's biography. A biography is simply the writing of a life. That's the end. When you die, your biography's over. Oh, there'll be an influence for what has happened, but your biography is written. The last period to the last sentence has been placed. But this is the fact. After this death, the life goes on, not in some mere spiritual realm. This is not some mystical message drawn in poetic phraseology from the good influences of Christ. This is a literal living, just as literal as the life that He lived on the earth, in a literal body, just as literal as the body in which He lived before His death. The biography of Christ goes on. We see the risen Christ in the midst of His people. Now that's a fairly huge area to study, and we're going to try to get to the heart of it as briefly as possible. The best way to do that is to have as few points as possible.
And I'll try to do that too, successfully or otherwise. We'll try. I want us to consider first Christ and death. For his resurrection has a lot to say about Christ and death. And then we will think of Christ and his disciples. Now I'll be very brief on this matter, I hope, of Christ and death. We start with this fact. He really died. He really died. It wasn't a matter that he looked as if he were dead. He was dead. There have been many so-called scholars who have sought to explain the resurrection by saying that he didn't really die. The whole infamous religion of Islam postulates this lie of the devil that Jesus did not die. Judas took his place, or some other such crazy notion, but Jesus did not die. Among apostates in the Christian church, many say he was put on the cross, he swooned, he was so weakened that those professionals in the art of putting men to death, the Roman centurion and the soldiers, they were all fooled. They could see that the thieves were still alive, and they broke their legs so that they could no longer haul themselves up upon the cross and would die of asphyxiation rather quickly. But they were fooled into thinking that Jesus died because he was so weakened by loss of blood and that he swooned on the cross, fell into such a coma that he appeared to be dead. Of course, what these so-called Christians, not Christians, but liars, I make no apology for calling the devil's brood for what it is, of their father, the devil, liars. What they don't tell you is that they go on to postulate as a miracle just as great as the resurrection in some ways, because how any man so weakened by loss of blood in such a coma could then be taken and wrapped up in grave clothes that were impregnated with 100 pounds of embalming spices and thrown into a cold tomb, sealed by a huge stone, how on earth, 3 days later, he could be walking the road to Emmaus as if nothing had happened to him, is a mystery beyond all knowledge or medical or scientific experience. In other words, it's rubbish. He died. He died. First of all, the Bible says he died. The eyewitnesses said he died. The Romans said he died. Pilate had it confirmed to him that he died. And then Jesus himself said, I died. Now, if any man wants to believe a liberal, rationalist, Bible-denying so-called scholar contradicting all that, well, please let me know, because I'd like to do some business with you. If you're that gullible, I have a whole lot of things I could sell you that are worth nothing, and I could be rich as a result. He died. And then he lay under the power of death. Now, the scripture tells us that he could not be holden of it, that is, permanently. But he lay under the power of death. And this is this part, at least, of the significance of the burying. This is part of the significance of remaining in the grave for that 3-day period. He didn't die for 5 minutes. He didn't die for 10 minutes. He didn't die for half an hour. He didn't die even for a few hours, because then it would have been thought he only appeared to die. He lay under the power of death, subject to death. And here is the deepest part of his humiliation. Here is the Prince of Life, and he is lying in a cold tomb under the power of death for 3 days. But yet, and this is one of the most fascinating aspects of the mystery of the person of Christ, I can only suggest it. I certainly have no detailed inside explanations for this. I can state the fact. If you want me to be much more precise, I'm going to fail you because I can't possibly meet your need. But listen, in that 3-day period, his flesh saw no corruption. Now think of what that tells you. His body was as sinless in death as it had been in life.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.